It's a lesson from 1 Peter, actually just the first two verses. If you have your Bibles or want to look in the bulletin, it's there, right in front of you. So what does it mean to be a Christian today? How do we live a life that's pleasing to God, especially in a culture of darkness and ungodliness? Or where people have the view that today is kind of a cafeteria-style religion. I can just pick and choose what I want to believe, and that's okay with God. It's whatever makes me feel good that's the number one thing. But in our epistle this morning, the Apostle Peter shows the early Christians and us what it is to live a godly life in the midst of darkness, suffering, persecution, and false teaching. And believe me, we've got a lot of that going on around in our churches today. Peter's epistle is considered one of the general epistles. In other words, not like Paul, he's not writing to a specific church, but he's writing to a general group of Christians who are scattered throughout Asia Minor. And he's writing, his purpose is to exhort converted Christians to be steadfast in the faith, to increase in the faith through all kinds of suffering and good works, to strengthen their faith through the divine promise of salvation to come. And he teaches them how to live the Christian life with sobriety, subduing our sinful nature, being in prayer, and finding the comfort we have in Christ. So in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy, envy, and slander." Some translations read this as "rid yourself." The word "lay aside" in the Greek language actually means to strip off or untie. Like if I untie my shoe, I'm going to take it off. It refers to like taking dirty clothes off and putting on clean clothes. If you're working out in the yard on a Saturday and you know you've got dinner plans that night, what are you going to do when you're all the gardening and working in the yard, everything is kind of filthy. You're going to go in, you're going to shower, change, and put on clean clothes. Peter is saying that we must lay aside or untie anything that would hinder our relationships with other people. For example, malice refers to bitterness, hard feelings, or carrying grudges. You familiar with that? Deceit refers to dishonesty, being two-faced or having hidden agendas. And hypocrisy simply means acting, hiding behind a mask, pretending to be something you're not. Envy is resenting what other people have and resenting that you don't have what they have. And of course, evil speaking is gossip and slander. We don't do that today, do we? The Apostle Paul uses similar language in Colossians 3, where he says, "Put to death what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these things, the wrath of God is coming." So this is pretty harsh language for us as Christians. And Peter is saying the same thing to the early Christians. How do we do this? How do we untie ourselves or rid ourselves or put to death, as Paul says, these things that hinder us in our walk with God? Go back to 1 Peter again. Whenever we have a soul, when he says, "so rid yourself," to begin a sentence, it generally means that there's something because of something. Some translations say, "therefore rid or untie yourselves." If there's a therefore, there must be something before. What Peter is saying is that because something has happened to us in Christ, we can now untie or rid ourselves of the thing that hinder our walk with Christ. And at that, we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. What has happened, he's saying to these early Christians. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his, that is God's great mercy, he has caused you and me to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wow, that's pretty awesome. And in verse 18, knowing that you were ransomed, meaning bought back, made right with God, from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as gold or silver, but with what? The holy, precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish. And then in verse 23 of chapter 1, he says, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of unperishable by the living, abiding Word of God. What Peter is saying to the early Christians is that their position in Christ is that they are forgiven people of God who have been born again to a living hope, which is their salvation in Christ. And this is our position in Christ as a baptized child of God. This is what we Lutherans call justification, meaning we are made right with God by nothing we do, but solely by the work of Christ to believe, by receive by faith. And now that we are justified, we're given the Holy Spirit to begin the process of daily untying those things of our sinful nature, putting on the new nature which is in Christ, so that we can do good works and serve others and serving our neighbor. By the power of the Holy Spirit given us in our baptism, we now daily die to our sins, and we rise with Christ. This is what we call sanctification. Okay? Justification is we're made right with God. All your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. You've been born again to a living hope. But we still carry this sinful nature. So sanctification means to be made holy, set apart. This is the process in the Christian life of daily repentance and faith, so that we daily realize as we confess our sins, we receive the total forgiveness of sins in Christ. And now we desire to do good works and serve the interests of others. And let me tell you something. People think, well, works, we don't want to talk about works because we don't earn our way to salvation. But Martin Luther even said, good works are necessary, not for salvation, but because God has commanded us to do them for the benefit of others. Listen to what Luther says in one of his writings. And I mean, he's probably one of the greatest theologians to walk the face of the earth. He says, although I am an unworthy and condemned man, my God has given me in Christ all the riches of righteousness and salvation without any merit on my part. He gets that. That's justification. The Holy Spirit is also given to me. He renews me. He sanctifies me and works in me love for my neighbor. I will therefore give myself as a Christ to my neighbor, just as Christ offered himself for me. You know, we as Lutherans said we've got the doctrine of justification nailed down perfect. In fact, that's our hallmark trait, is justification by faith. There's nothing we do to earn salvation. It's totally the work of God. Nobody can earn God's favor. Yet, but when it comes to sanctification or growing in our faith, sometimes we have a tendency to just sit quietly in our pews. We don't want to bother anybody. Oh, we have the right doctrine, but do we share that with others? Are we engaged in our community? Are we involved? Do we involve ourselves in the social issues of today, the issues of that where there's so much darkness in our culture? Do we become involved here in the ministry at Hope Lutheran Church? I mean, there's so much that can be done. And all of you have gifts that God has given you. You see, Peter is saying sanctification spans our entire lives. It's the daily untying of the old Adam and putting the new nature on in Christ. It's a daily walk of repentance and faith as we strive to grow in our faith, resting on the promises of God and the forgiveness of sins in Christ. And it's making an effort and a focus on serving others and being concerned with their well-being, even when we don't want to. The next thing Peter says to these Christians and to us, how are we to grow in our faith, to live a godly life, now that we are untying all these things that hinder us? Where do we get the strength? Where do we get the sustenance for that? In verse 2, he uses the metaphor of a nursing child. He says, like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk that is by it you may grow up into salvation. Some translations, and I like the other word, the NIV says, crave the spiritual milk. As an infant craves its mother's milk, so we as Christians need to crave God's word, which causes us to grow in faith. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have a hunger for God's word? To read it, to learn it, to study it. As Paul says, the word of God makes one wise for salvation. I can remember interviewing people for business, for particular jobs. And I would say, one key is if you want to be successful in this industry, you must become a student of the business. Learn it, absorb it, take classes. And it's the same thing with us as Christians. How can we expect to grow in our faith if we're not in the Word, if we're not a student of the Bible? And I'm not saying you have to go to seminary, you have to be a theologian, but that I'm into the Word, I'm reading it daily, I'm absorbing it. Because once the Word gets into you, you read that Word, it gets into you, and it changes you. The psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God's word is bread. Jesus says in Matthew, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word in the mouth of God. So how much time do you spend reading and meditating on it? Is it important? Is it a priority? Do you take time each day to spend with God in devotion, in prayer? Because God's word is powerful, and it's our roadmap for salvation in Christ. Or do you participate in a Bible study or come to adult Bible class after worship? Peter tells us and those early Christians that we need to have that same appetite that the infant has for milk, that we would have for God's word. A baby that doesn't get its mother's milk will eventually die. So likewise, Christians who are not in the word, digesting it, absorbing it, meditating it, can become spiritually sick. I think many times we're tempted. Instead of craving God's word, we would rather crave junk food. In fact, we're living in a junk food culture. Instead of God's word, we satisfy our hunger for many other things. We feed our souls with mindless programming that's on television, basically mocking the Christian faith. We clog our arteries and soul with violence, foul language, sex in the modern day movies or on Netflix. We will fill our ears many times with music that degrades the spirit, denies God, and disgraces our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we wonder why there's no appetite for the word of God. I was appalled at a recent Gallup poll that said Americans revere the Bible, but by and large they don't read it. And because they don't read it, we become a nation of biblical illiterates. And we as Lutherans, we don't have any excuse either. And here are these statistics. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. 60% of Americans can't even name 5 of the 10 commandments. 81% of born-again Christians said that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is a verse in the Bible. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. But that's only 12%. I don't know where that comes from. Over 50% of graduating high school seniors think Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. These are staggering statistics for those who profess to be Christians. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying to you, become a student of the Word of God. Know it, digest it, absorb it. Peter says because of who we are in Jesus and what he's done for us in his death and resurrection, we are to crave and long for God's Word in our lives so that we may live holy lives pleasing to him. I know in my own life I can't go 2 days without being in the Word. I just start to unravel. I get stressed. But when I go into the Word, I'll go to something like Psalm 143, where the Lord says, In your faithfulness and righteousness you come to my relief. Let me hear of your unfailing love in the morning. And see, brothers and sisters, we grow in our faith by craving God's Word. The Bible says that his word is sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb. You see, God not only justifies us, but he sanctifies us so that we can do the things pleasing to him by serving others. And he keeps us in the true faith to life everlasting. May the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens us with his gifts, cause us to crave God's word, to make it a number one priority in our lives, for he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen.